Blog Talk Radio.
Some days you're weary.
Some days you're weary.
And you can't see your way.
And you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely.
Some nights are lonely.
With no one to say.
With no one to say.
You can make it.
You can make it.
It's only a test.
It's only a test.
You can take it.
You can take it.
And don't you think.
And don't you think.
So wipe the tears from your eyes.
Here's
the reason why.
You.
Sunday, March 25th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, blessings to you, doctor.
Same to you, sir.
Always good to hear your voice. Thank you,
Same
sir.
Here.
Thank you. Always good. Always good to hear your voice. Yes, sir. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can always tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. If you cannot get through, sometimes we have a lot of callers calling in and our systems get filled up. But if you can't get through, always leave a comment with your name and your number, and I'll get with you. Or if you have a Facebook, I'll inbox you, whatever you want. But just if you have a prayer request, you can contact us in many different ways, and I'll pray for you. And just know that we are here for you because we love you. We love you because Christ loves us, and it is our duty to love everybody and to be there for everybody. Amen. I always like to start off with a good word of prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you yet again for just another week, another day to celebrate your good works, another day to lift up your name, another day to shout out, thank you, God, for what you have done for us. We ask right now, Father God, that you will bless our network. Continue, Father God, to bless us and keep us. We are doing some amazing work with this network. And I just thank you, Father God, for giving me the insight, Father God, and the knowledge and the wisdom to preach your word to your people. I ask right now, Father God, that you will bless our leader, Miss Michelle. Keep her in all the ways, Father God, that you would have her to be. I ask that you would bless Brother Hakim. Continue, Father God, to heal him, keep him, and bless his family. I ask, Father God, that you will continue to keep me and bless me, Father God, and hold me up, Father God. And, you know, I thank you, Father God, for just keeping me and just realizing that none of us, Father God, are worthy of what you give us, but we just thank you anyway, because without you, we are nothing. We can't do anything. And we just love you, Father God. We love you. I ask, Father God, that you will bless this world. Bless every leader, Father God, our city leaders and our state leaders. I also pray, Father God, for our president. Touch him in a mighty way, Father God. We need you now more than ever. And we just thank you. We honor you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I am happy, excited, and full of joy. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. The word of the week is redeemed. Find scripture that supports this word. And see how does this word pertain to your Christian walk. After your study, call in next week and see what we can discuss as far as being redeemed. What does it mean to you? What does it do to your soul to hear that word redeemed? Throughout all the weeks that we've been doing this, if you have lived your life by the words that I've given you and the scriptures that you have found, I'm sure that God has been blessing you abundantly. It's important that you do your study. You can't teach nobody about God if you don't know about God yourself. I'm here to let you know right now, in order to be an effective Christian, you must know the Word of God. You must understand that God has something for you, and it's in His Word. We question and we ask, God, what is it that you want from me? What is it that you have for me? What is it that I need to be doing? It's in His Word. Through His Word. You don't know how your life should go. You don't know what you should be doing. You feel stuck. It's in His Word. You're not the first, and you won't be the last. That goes right into my testimony for this week. Trusting that God has a plan for your life. Trusting that God has a plan for your life. When you trust that God has a plan for your life, that means you're not worried about the things that go on around you. You're not worried about pass or if you fail. You're not worried about if you stumble, if you fall. You're not worried about it if you walk, because you know that God has a plan for your life. You're not worried about what people say behind your back, what they say to your face. You're not worried about what they do. God has a plan for your life. If you believe that God has a plan for your life, then serve God with gladness, with truth. Because I'm going to tell you, I know that God has a plan for my life. And how I know that He has a plan for my life, I know because Jesus loves me. And if He loves me, then He's going to set me up in the situations to make me victorious. There's somebody out here that don't know that Jesus loves you. There's nothing too big that you have done that will stop the love of God from falling upon you. He loves you. Before we get into the scripture and the word, Brother Hakim, how have you been doing, sir?
I am doing much better, sir. My health is well. My mind is where it should be. I'm energized. And I'm rather hyperactive for it to be a Friday night for me. I'm usually old man and ready for bed this time of night, you know. But I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
You know what? I can't complain. I really can't. You know, it's just one of those days where you just like, okay, I'm ready to get started. I'm ready to get things moving. And, you know, and then when you get things moving, you're like, oh, man, I didn't know I was this tired, you know.
Yeah, it's, man.
It's a blessing, you know. When we were younger, you know, we could just stay up all night and jump up and do whatever we need to do. Now it's just like, I understand when my mother used to come home and fall asleep, and you know, and she told me, you just keep on living, you'll understand, you know, and Lord knows I understand now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just one of those things, Dr. Butt, and that's how it is, and we keep it moving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes sir. So I want to talk for just a few minutes. I want to preach on something. And with this being Palm Sunday, I want to touch on a scripture that's very dear to my heart. And mostly every Christian and Christian leader can agree that this scripture is just awesome. And many sermons have been preached on it and different variations, but I want to give my little spin. Amen. The scripture will come out of the gospel according to John chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. And it reads, "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Then Jesus, when he found a young donkey, he sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had been done, and that these things had been done to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they had heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'You see that they are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" Father God, I ask that you will bless this message. Use me in a mighty way. I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. A week before the plan of salvation, you find this story. Christians particularly call it Palm Sunday. The triumphant entry into Jerusalem is spoken of in all four Gospels. Jesus, as he was coming into Jerusalem, fulfilled a scripture out of Zechariah 9:9, which speaks about their Messiah coming in to the city on a donkey. He did this, and everything that Jesus did, he did to fulfill all scriptures so that the people will know who he really is. Jesus really is the Messiah. He was born of Mary, and of the Holy Spirit, given to Mary and Joseph, but he was still the Messiah. I find it amazing that the people who lived around him saw him grow up, noticed something different about him, seeing that he was a little bit greater than those who were all around. He had a distinct walk about him, a distinct talk about him, but they could not see who he really was. But getting back to this scripture, it says that his disciples laid down their cloaks and their clothes on top of the donkey that then Jesus sat on. All of these things were done in the custom of royalty. Jesus entered into this city with grace, love, peace, and mercy. That's something that he shows us even still this day. Love, peace, grace, and mercy. When you felt that nobody loves you, he tells you, I love you. He gives you peace for your weary soul. And though we don't deserve his love, we get it anyway. But the people, what I love about this particular story is that the people met him. As he was coming into the city, they met him, and they all with one beautiful melody sung out, Hosanna to the highest. They praised Christ as he walked through. They said, the Lord be magnified. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And many times we have spoken about what the Jews believe as far as the Messiah, that they believed that their Messiah would come in a form of a military leader, that their Messiah would come in a form of this big man from a big family, of a wealthy family, and he would just be this strapping young man, and this is what they believed. But at this moment, they see a man who has done extraordinary things coming through the city on a donkey. A donkey, though it has appeared to be dumb, is loyal to its master, goes and does the extra hard work that none of the other animals can do. And it never gives up. But they praise Christ because they thought that he was there to remove Rome from their midst. Not because he healed them. Not because he blessed them or that he loved on them. Christ wanted to see everybody grow and prosper in faith. But these people did not praise him for all of that. Their praise was selfish. Their praise was worthless. From last year, pull out your palm and tell me, how does your palm look? I can tell you how your palm looks. It's dry. It's stiff. It's old. And it's dead. Just like their praise. They fell on their faces. but just a mere 7 days later, because he was not what they thought he was. They hollered out, "Crucify, crucify." They wanted to set free a known terrorist, a known rebellious man who tried to throw off the officials at any time he can. They would say, "Release this known murderer." They release a man who did nothing but try to make them better. That's the way life goes. If you know what I mean, Brother Hakim, they'll love you 1 minute and hate you the next. Jesus was no exception. They loved him, then they hated him. We find that that's something that this world really needs to look at. The people really need to look at. Don't just love a person when they can do for you. Rather, love people regardless to what's going on. I find that to be amazing. Downright crazy. But that happens. But I'm here to let you know that I can't do nothing with a dead palm. We burn them up on Ash Wednesday and we put ashes on our head. But I'm here to let you know, I like those fresh palms. I like those palms that's picked right out, that's green, that's vibrant, that's full of life, that's restored, revitalized, renewed. I want my praise for Jesus to be just like a brand new palm, fresh off the tree, still with life, that I can praise God regardless to what goes on around me or what people are saying about me or what people are doing. I can praise God because I know that he is the one that set me free. When we talk about being redeemed, this is the week that we look at his the redemptive properties of Jesus the Christ. I look at that right now during this time, and I say, thank you, God, for sending your son to die for an idiot like me. Because Lord knows sin can make you so crazy sometimes. But you find peace in Jesus. You find peace in his word. You find peace in his works. You find peace in the blood that flows. I'm here to let somebody know right now, it's time that you renew your faith, that you renew your praise, that you let your praise go before you. But don't just praise Jesus when it's convenient for you. Praise him even if you have not been blessed. Praise him even when you have not seen the breakthroughs. Praise him even when it looks like all has failed. Because Jesus comes through. He's riding through on a donkey with peace and love and joy. And he's trying to walk into your heart. But I'm asking you right now, are you ready to receive the Messiah? Or will you spew him out your mouth? It's time right now that we think about this. Is Jesus knocking at your door? Is he ready to walk down that street with you? There's a song that says that he walks with me and he talks with me. He lives. I'm here to let you know that Jesus lives. He wants his people to praise him and to never stop, regardless of how it may look. Jesus knew that he was in a mere 7 days that he would be crucified. But he did not run from his mission. He was not afraid of what the Sadducees and the Pharisees might do. He even knew what the people were going to do, but he did not stop. It's time that we look at our lives. Look at yourself in the mirror. Examine your life. This story tells me that regardless to what goes on, I'm going to praise God with sincerity. I'm going to thank God for my Jesus every day that I wake up. That greater is he that is in me than he that is of this world. It's somebody out here right now. And Jesus is knocking at your door. Jesus wants to come in and set up shop. Even for the Christians, every time you find yourself sitting and doing things that you know that's not right by God, you nail him back to the cross. Now, I'm not saying that we don't all sin. I'm not saying that we don't all fall short. But what I'm saying is, look at yourself and try every day to do better. The very reason why Jesus started this walk. The very reason why he sat on that donkey. The very reason why he allowed them to sing Hosanna to the highest. It all sum up in a mere 7 days to save us. To save a people that didn't even love him. I'm here to let you know right now that if you are listening to this message, that Jesus is saying, come unto me, all those who are weary, tired, frustrated, irritated. You have been hurt. Give you rest. Walk with me into that promised land. Open up your door because I'm calling you out. I'm a living witness as to what Christ can do in your life. I love my Jesus. I don't know what I would do without him. Where would I be if it wasn't for Jesus? Where would I go if I didn't have Jesus? Who would I be if I didn't have Jesus? I'm here to let you know. He's trying to come into your life. He's entering into a relationship with you. Are you ready? Do you want it? Do you feel a tug, a pull on your life. Don't be like the people who thought he was coming to revolt against Rome. And they just knew that, oh, yes, they about to, it's some good stuff about to go down. Nah. But Jesus didn't come with a physical sword and shield. He came with the power of God and the word of God. And he did not remove the hands of Rome off of them. He removed the works of Satan off of them. The hand that oppressed was the works of Satan. And he conquered the works of Satan. He put that devil under his feet, entered into the city with victory, with joy, and a love that surpassed all understanding. But what say you? What say you? How will you walk this week? Will you walk with your head up high, knowing that if you went back in time, that you would have seen this week some great things that happened, that Jesus gave up his life for you? My people, love on Jesus. He will see you through. He's never too busy. He never says to call him back. He never says, wait a minute. He never says, can you repeat that? To hear all your problems. Love Jesus. May God bless you. And may God keep you. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's so amazing, Brother Hakim, that when you read the story of Jesus, you will see, you know, that that he did so much for so many people in his 3.5 years that he had this ministry. He healed many. There are so many wondrous things that he did that's not even recorded in the Gospels. And he did it because it was the right thing to do. He did it because he wanted somebody to understand that God loved them. He didn't do it because he needed to do it or he had to do it. He did it because it was the right thing to do. And these same people were the same ones to crucify him. That's just like somebody coming along and giving you a brand new car, something that you may need, or even I may need a brand new car. And then in the next breath, you cursing them because it's not the color that you want. I don't understand it, but it was all in the will of God. It's just one of those things where I look at the scripture and I get a little upset because I always say, why in the world would these people do something crazy like this? But God always reminds me about that. And every time that I get and I start thinking like that, he tells me that every time that you sinned, you nailed him back to that cross. Every time you sin and you know that you're doing wrong, you know that you have done wrong, you have nailed him back to the cross. So you're no different than these people. But I love Jesus. Whenever I'm dealing with something, he always pulls me through. I can count on Jesus. My Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. I take Jesus through some crazy stuff sometimes. But he's always there with me. It's just amazing. How would you not, and how could you not want to serve a God that loves you that much? Give up his life for you. It's just so amazing to me. I love him. And just this alone just shows me. It shows me that regardless as to what, don't be like them. Don't be like them. I have a few people who contacted me and asked me to continue to pray for them. I want to continue to pray for Miss Linda, who still on the road of recovery. She asked that we will continue to lift her up. So, Father God, we ask that you will bless Sister Linda. Keep her in all things that she do for you. We ask that you will bless her as she goes for a new journey in her life. Keep her, Father God. We ask that you will touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Purge her of anything, Father God, that is not of you. Keep her mind, her body focused on you. We just thank you right now for her. In Jesus' name, amen. We ask right now, Father God, that you would bless Deacon Maurice and his family. Wipe the tears from their eyes, Father. He is a mighty man of God, and he uplifts your people, and he teaches your word. He needs you now, Father God, to show up and to show out in his life. Touch his mother. Wipe the tears from her eyes. Be her comfort, Father God. Be her strength. I'm praying in my spirit, Father God, for new breakthroughs and blessings for his family. I just thank you right now. Father God, you have just been so good unto us. Help us right now to be more like you. I just thank you, Father God, that you have given me and my wife 5 years of marriage today. I thank you. Marriage is not easy, but there's a blessing in it. The blessing is there. And I receive it. Thank you, Father God. I ask that you will bless every church that calls on the name of Jesus, Pastor, Father God. Every minister, every preacher, Father God, every teacher, every missionary, every lay, every officer, Father God. Let this year be renewed, Father God, refreshed for our lives. Give us a fresh anointing to fall down upon us. Grant us peace within our church, effective churches. No more fighting and arguing and people against people and people against the pastor. And let all that stuff die. Let it all die. We're all here to serve. I thank you for the insight. For blessing me and keeping me and those around. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Hakeem, would you have any prayer requests, sir?
Not at this time. I'll double check and triple check my messages and see what's going on before we leave air tonight, so we can get him in there.
Amen. As you know, prayer changes things, and I am a firm believer that prayer can change things. And if there's anybody out here, and you've been dealing with issues, and you need somebody to pray for you, we are here for you. This is our main purpose, is to put out God's word and to help his people. It's my only reason for wanting to live on this earth, to do God's will. It's amazing. It's truly amazing to me. But I love Jesus. And I'm not afraid to admit it. Jesus has been knocking at your door. Will you let him in? He loves you. For Miss Rhonda. Thank you. That you will bless her, Father God. That you will heal her body. Touch her mind. I ask right now, Father God, that whatever is affecting her body, that you would remove it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch in a mighty way. Heal in a mighty way. Deliver in a mighty way. She's a wonderful woman, Father. But right now we need you to show up, Father God, and to do what you do best. We will praise your name for the blessed outcome. We know, Father God, that we serve you, and we know that you are a healing God, you are a delivering God, and you are a loving God. So right now, we expect you, Father God, to move. We expect you, Father God, to heal. We expect you, Father God, to revive. We don't have nobody else to run to, Father God, but you. You are our only hope, Father God. When it's cloudy, you are the light that shines through the fog. When it's raining, you are the one that comforts us and that covers us and that protects us from the rain. When it's cold outside, you are that warmth that we feel from our head down to our toes. Bless her, Father God. Keep her, Father God. Anoint her, Father God. We thank you. We honor you and we love you. Because we expect this healing to go forth so that we can all praise your name together. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to continue to lift this network up, Brother Hakim. For all those who are coming aboard, it's a true blessing. It is a true blessing to be on this network. Well, we got to remember, Doctor, that everything that we try to do, Satan is going to be right there to try to pounce on us. But glory to God. He's going to try to attack us, our leader. He's going to try to attack you, me, all the hosts. But we serve a God that conquered the works of Satan. We serve a God. And I just pray right now, Father God, that you will put a hedge of protection around this network. Father, we're getting great and we're going high. Bless us in all that we do. Bless and keep, Father God. I hear you saying, Father, that you have a message for Michelle. Michelle, taste and see the good works of Jesus. See they don't eat. Bless you in a mighty way. You have blessed others. We have uplifted others. And when the world has forgotten, Jesus won't. And Jesus didn't. Your blessings are coming. Hold on. Strap yourself in and get ready for the ride. That's for you. I want you all to know that I love you. I love you more than anything in this world. But always remember that Jesus gave up his life for you. And if Jesus can give up his life for a stranger, there is no greater love. This is Pastor D. Townsend with the good brother, Hakim Nuba. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. And as we sign out, remember that I love you and Jesus loves you. God bless you and God bless you.
Some days you're weary.
Some days you're weary.
And you can't see your way.
And you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely.
Some nights are lonely.
With no one to say.
With no one to say.
You can make it.
You can make it.
It's only a test.
It's only a test.
You can take it.
You can take it.
And don't you think.
And don't you think.
So wipe the tears from your eyes.
Here's
the reason why.
Yes, you can. It's only a test.
Only a test.